Now, first, I want to thank the Lord, and then I want to thank each of you for this kind invitation to be present. Not only to be present, but to share in the ministry of God's Word. This has been a wonderful weekend. I've enjoyed it. It's been tremendous. Now, I think you will agree with me. The summit, the acme, the high point was the worship meeting this morning. Amen. Worship. Amen. You know, many Christians don't know what worship is. Some time ago, a couple visited us on a Sunday. And in the course of conversation, the young lady said, "Oh, we had a wonderful worship meeting this morning." I said, "What was it like? What happened?" "The pastor preached." That's not worship. We know that. How we thank God for the revelation of His will and word that He's given to us. Let us hold on to it. And that is one of the things I'm going to tell my wife when I go back. She likes worship meetings. And you know, the sisters get a lot out of it too, if we let the Spirit of God lead us. And when I tell her what happened here this morning, she will rejoice with you. Now our text, Philippians chapter 4, and I'm only going to take one verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. "I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." The Lord will bless to us the reading of His word. Now, before we go into the matter before us today, I want to talk a little bit about unity. First, the beauty of unity. We all know it. Psalm 133. "But beloved, and especially young men, even though you know the scriptures, turn to them." Education is repetition. You remember how you learned the multiplication table? May I see the hands of all who saw it the first time and learned it? We went over and over and over. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Don't think that because you know John 3:16, for example, that there's nothing more in John 3:16. We had a brother over in, when I was living in New York. If I call the name, some of you may know him, Brother Eustace. Gifted minister of the word. We had a series of gospel meetings for 2 weeks, every night in the week except Saturday. He spoke every night in the week and on one text, John 3:16, and no two messages were the same. Now, how many can do that? Therefore, every time we turn to John 3:16, read it. There is something to be gathered every time you read. So let us look at Psalm 133. "Behold, and how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The beauty of unity. The beauty of oneness. There is a beauty in unity. Maybe you have heard or seen the picture of the two donkeys. They were joined by a chain to each neck. And to the left there was a bundle of hay. And to the right, a bundle of hay. And each donkey pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. No progress. Then they came together and looked at each other. And they decided, "We'll go here first and there next." And then when they finished, they were smiling. Now, I don't know how a donkey looks when he smiles. In unity and in oneness, there is a certain beauty. John chapter 17. Now, it is my habit, and those that know me know my habit, to turn to many, many scriptures. This is the chief criticism of my daughters when I speak. "Daddy, you turn to too many scriptures." So if I should hear that at this meeting I turn to too many, I will know that someone here said something to them. On the other hand, my wife is very kind. She doesn't criticize as severely as they do. But, beloved, and especially young men, I don't know how you're going to know the Bible if you don't turn to the Scriptures. I just don't know how you're going to know it. And as I said, read the same Scriptures over. There's always something new. John chapter 17. Some of you may remember Brother Duguid, the older ones. Now, he said that one should never take verses out of John 17. It's the Lord's Prayer. We should read the whole thing. But I'm going to do what he said not to do. And meanwhile, since you know the whole thing, you review it in your mind. I'm just going to read a few verses. John chapter 17, verse 21. The prayer of the Lord, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us. Verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Not only is unity a beautiful thing, but the Lord desires unity. Amen. Now, come back to verse 21. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, the latter part. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them. Where there is unity and oneness, we will have a profound effect on the world outside. And the theme here has been unity in various aspects. I'm not going to say much about unity in service. I'm just going to talk about unity. Apply it to service. Apply it to all of the things that we have heard. When we dwell together in unity, we have a profound effect on those on the outside. And now we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. And by the way, you have several musicians here, and they will testify to what I'm about to say. I say this at many meetings. Also, pardon the voice. It's not a singing voice, but it's a little better speaking voice than what you're hearing. Genesis chapter 13. The effect that we have on the outsiders when we dwell together in unity. Verse 7 of Genesis 13. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. They looked on and they saw this. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? We're brethren. Dwell together in unity. A beautiful picture. And, beloved, that has been one of the failures of the Church of God, universal, almost since the time of its beginning. Failure to dwell together in unity. Unity in service, unity in commitment, unity in all of these phases that we have been discussing. Now, how do we achieve or attain this unity that we've been talking about? You see, I was glad that our brothers didn't touch on that. They told us about unity and why we should have it and so, but they didn't just tell us how to get it. How do we attain this oneness that we have been reading of? Colossians chapter 2, please. The attaining of unity. Oh, by the way, as you turn the pages of your Bible, don't you get a musical sound? Yeah. It's like in the springtime when you go out and the wind blows through the leaves on one side and you hear a musical sound, and then you get a response on the other side as the wind blows through. Have you ever experienced that? Well, listen closely the next time. You hear beautiful music. And when you turn the pages of the Bible, it sounds just the same. It's music. Now, how to attain and achieve unity? Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, let no man deceive you. of your reward or defraud you of your reward through a false humiliation and worshiping of angels. Let me just stop there by way of parenthesis. Isn't it interesting how the New Agers and all these other agers are out there going after spirits and angels and all sorts of things? It's amazing. It's here in the Word, and it existed a long time ago. I'm so glad to see so many young men. I wish I had time. I'd like to go through with you in the Bible and show you how up-to-date the Bible is. It's all here. All young men, study the Bible. Don't read it. No. My father always told me, he said, Arthur, don't read the Bible, study it. Sit down there and study it and learn it. Now that's just the parenthesis. Now we read on. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Is that true today? New ages, spirits, all sorts of things that they haven't seen and have no knowledge of. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now the verse. Not holding fast. Some of your Bibles say not holding. The better translation is not holding fast the head, from which all the body and so forth derives nourishment. The key to unity in the service of the Lord is to hold fast to the head. And the head is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast. A good example of holding fast, and we must turn again, 2 Samuel, please. Chapter 23. You may not want to invite me again. I turn to so many scriptures. But I repeat, it's the only way to learn the Bible. You remember what Peter says, no scripture is of separate or private interpretation. It all goes together. Therefore, you have to turn the pages and fit them together. And that is one of the errors we find in the world today. People will take one verse out of context, out of the scripture, out of its right place, and build a whole doctrine on one verse without relationship to the others. Turn the pages, brethren, especially young men. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Hold fast. Hold fast. Chapter 23. Oh, let's start at verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite who sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800. These names. Don't skip them. Look at them and read them. Two reasons. And you have a lot of these genealogies and these names in the book of Genesis. You know why you should read them? For one thing, it will teach you patience. Read them and pronounce them correctly. And the second thing is, if your name were there, you would want it read. So when we come to these names, read them and then look it up and find out what they mean. Now, verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men which David, when they defied the Philistines, that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now, verse 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. That's holding fast. Hold so tight you can't let go. Because as we shall see, there are those who have let go and have gotten into trouble. Oh, beloved, hold fast to the head. And hold so fast that you can't let go. Hold, that's the key to successful service. That's the key to unity of believers. We'll see how that works. Hold fast to the head. Now, when we think of the head, and rightly so, we think of the brain. The orders come. Our brother reminded us of that yesterday. how the head will go down to the toe and tell the foot to withdraw, and tears come from the eyes and the heart beats. All of the orders come from the head. Now, when we think of the head, we think of the brain. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and all orders should come from him. Therefore, we are to hold fast to him. Amen. Now, in the world of what we call trauma, injuries, one of the most severe injuries, in my judgment, that a human being can sustain is to have the brain separated from the rest of the nervous system. There's a disconnection, a loss of connection between the head and the rest of the body. To me, one of the saddest injuries that the human body can sustain. But what happens when that brain is cut away and severed from the remaining portions? You get a paralysis. You become paralyzed. Where we fail to hold fast, we are subject to paralysis. Now, there are two kinds of paralysis. I hope I'm not taking it through too much medicine and physiology, but there's a lot of medicine and physiology in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, well, that's anatomy, where the Lord tells us that we are body of Christ. Some members have more service than others, but all members are necessary. That's a beautiful example of anatomy and physiology. Hold fast to the head. Where there is a division from the head, then the other parts are paralyzed. Now, there are two types of paralysis. In one type of paralysis, the part just lays there, useless, can't do a thing. And we have a man in the Bible that was like that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Now, we might have read it in Philemon and also read of this man in Colossians, but we won't bother for sake of time. But Demas was a follower of the Lord, an associate of Paul. Now, to me, that's quite a business. It was great to be one of the followers and associates of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think next to that, to be an associate of the Apostle Paul. Demas was with the Apostle Paul. Now turn to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Verse 10. Demas has forsaken me. He ceased to hold fast to the head, having loved this present world. And I have a little note here that I got the other day. Fellowship with the greatest saint is not enough to keep the heart from straying. Only full commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us from the tragedy of Demas. He failed to hold fast to the head. And young men and young women, no, pardon me, they're no women, young men, hold fast to the head. Don't hold fast to a brother. You get in trouble. Now, the brother might be a perfect example, and the Lord tells us to follow them, but make sure you are holding fast to the head. And Demas failed to hold fast, and he became paralyzed, useless. When I was a teenager, oh, I guess I was about 17, at our Labor Day conference, on Monday afternoon, conference began at 3 o'clock, there was a brother, and I tell you, he spoke from Romans chapter 8, I will never forget. It was a masterful presentation. And I remember the next day, a sister came to our home and she asked my mother, "Sister God, what did you think of that brother?" My mother said, "Oh, he was wonderful." And this older sister said, "He was too good. He was spectacular." The next year at the conference, he was out of fellowship for adultery. He didn't hold fast. I don't believe he was holding fast when he gave the message. He was just talking. Oh, beloved, hold fast. Now, this was a good 20 years later, and it's interesting how God works. My receptionist went on vacation, and when she returned, I asked her, well, how was it? Oh, I had a wonderful time. And you know, there was one man there, he was kind of old, she said, but he danced with everybody, and he danced day and night, and he surely could dance. And then the next day, she said, would you like to see his picture? She said, well, I'll show you the picture, but I don't remember his name. And she showed me the picture, and that was the picture of this brother. He ceased to hold fast to the head. As far as the work of the Lord was concerned, he was paralyzed. No good. And I could tell you of some others. I think of one young man in the worship meeting on a Sunday. We were about the same age. I used to marvel at how he could give thanks. Where did he get those words and those thoughts? I went away to school, and when I came back, he was no longer in fellowship at the assembly. I saw him a few years ago, cigar in mouth and a bottle of liquor in the right hand, not holding fast the head, paralyzed, no use for God. Hold fast to the head, I repeat, not to a brother. But you know, there's a second kind of paralysis. Pardon me. There is a second kind of paralysis. Now, in this paralysis, you just don't lie there useless. The muscles move, but not in coordination with the brain. Now, when we studied this in school, they had a favorite expression. And you must pray for my throat. When the cat is away, the mice will play. You ever heard that? And when you sever connection with the brain, then the lower parts, they'll move all right. But they don't move in a coordinated manner. And child of God, when you cease to hold fast to the head, there may well be movement. But it's an ineffective movement. It's like being on a treadmill. You're walking, you're burning up a lot of energy, but getting nowhere. And I think of some examples. Oh, let's read a biblical example of this. One who is working and doing a whole lot, but getting nowhere. Because he is not holding fast to the head. That's back in the book of, oh, let me see, there's so many here. Let's see, 1 Chronicles. Make it 2 Samuel, please. I do that often. You see, I have here a list of about 7 or 8 illustrations. Time doesn't permit, so we'll take one. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Not holding fast to the head, but still active, actively getting nowhere. As I said, on a treadmill. 2 Samuel chapter 18. You know the story well. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Joab said unto him, you shall not bear tidings this day, you shall bear tidings another day. This day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Don't run. That's what the head said. The head, Joab, said to Cushai, verse 21, go tell the king what you have seen. Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. All right, he had orders from the head. Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again said to Joab, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. Joab said, why will you run? You have nothing, no tidings today. Howsoever, he said, let me run. I want to run. I want to be active. I want to move. And he said unto him, run. But not connected to the head. He's running on his own. The head told him not to run. He's moving. Now notice what happens. Verse 23, then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and he outran the man who had the orders. That must have looked good. And there are some believers like that, some brothers like that. Oh, they look spectacular. Oh, they look wonderful. But there's no connection with the head. They haven't received orders from the head. Oh, beloved, I'm repeating it. I must have said it a dozen times. Hold fast to the head. Oh, thank you, brother. Well, thank you for this, too. I don't know if I can sort of use this while I'm speaking. I'll do my best. Pray for the voice. You talk about faith healing if you pray. And I believe that, too. Now, here's a man running. And he looked good. He outran the man that had the orders. And as I said, sometimes you find some preachers, oh, they look good. Had a few of them in the States about 2 or 3 years back. You remember? They looked good. Running and spectacular. It's like a comet, you know. Always be careful of the spectacular. A comet is spectacular and everybody's looking at it. But all the stars that have been there all these years, they don't pay attention to them. Don't worry about the spectacular. And don't try to be spectacular. Well, verse 24. The end of verse 23. Ahimaaz, who had no orders, overran Cushai, who had orders. And you know, sometimes in your Christian experience, you are working, serving the Lord faithfully, and there's another brother, you know he is not in the will of the Lord, and yet they approve of him, and he seems to be making more progress. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God will take care of him. Now we come on to verse 24. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall and lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king. The king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came a space and drew near. The watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man is running, and he is alone. The king said, he also brings good tidings. The watchman said, I think the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with good news. Now, mark you, this is the man that had no orders. He's running on his own. Verse 28, Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. He fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. The king said unto him, is the young man Absalom well? That's what I want to know. And Ahimaaz said, well, when Joab sent the king's servant, first of all, Joab didn't send him. And you have to watch these fellows that claim that they're sent of the Lord when they're not sent, who are not holding fast. Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. He outruns this other fellow. He looks good. He's spectacular, but he has no information. He's just running, wasting time and energy. Because he is not holding fast to the head. Now we go along, verse 30. The king said unto him, turn aside and stand. He turned aside and stood still. The whole Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king, the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? That's what I want to know. Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as the life of that young man. And the king was much moved. He wasn't out in front, but he had news. And again I say to you, young brethren, don't worry about being out in front. You just keep your orders from the Lord. Maintain contact with him. You may be slower, but you know the story of the turtle and the hare. The slow one got there first. So don't worry about these fellows that seem to be making all this progress, and I can tell you about a number of them. I can think of offhand of at least 5 or 6 who grew up with me, and they showed such potential. Of course, I knew what the story was. And sad to say, today they're away from the Lord. Ahimaaz. And we have them creeping into the assemblies. These that are not holding fast, and this is a danger that we have to watch out for. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Beloved, we have to beware of false teachers not holding fast, seeping in and creeping in among us to lead God's people astray. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. And what I'm about to tell you, we experienced very recently in the smaller assembly. I say smaller because we visit two. I like the small one. Oh, it's so intimate. 35 people, you know them so well. I came up in a large one, 250 to 300 in the fellowship. I couldn't know all those people. I tried. Let me tell you something, how important it is to know the names of people. And the Lord is good. He led me on this one. There was a certain sister in the meeting, and she always looked sort of serious and sad. I think it was a Wednesday night, and the sister was visiting our home. I said, "What is the name of that sister?" And she told me the name. The following Sunday, I used to go to the door to greet people, you know. And as this sister came, I said, "Good morning, sister. How are you feeling?" You know what she said to me? "You don't even know my name." Happily, I had just learned it 2 days before. I called that name. I said, "You're Sister So-and-so." And she smiled. And every time I go to New York, she's the first to greet me. I just mean it. Now, Romans, that's just an aside. Romans 16. And this is real, beloved. And the elders have to watch out for this. In that small group that I mentioned, of just 35 believers, we had this experience just about a year ago. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have to be careful, brethren, of these people creeping in among us, seeking to destroy and harm the people of God. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. "O Timothy, guard that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, oppositions of what is called science or knowledge." And there's a lot of that seeping in, "which some professing have erred from the faith." Professing knowledge. About 15 years ago, I was invited to an assembly, had a worship meeting just like this one here this morning. I'm going to keep check of the time. Beautiful worship meeting. My wife was in New York City, and so they said to me, "Well, come and have dinner with us," which was very nice. And I went to have dinner, and I left there the saddest person that you could imagine. The meeting was like the one we had this morning. But when we got to the dinner table, I found out that not one of those there believed in Genesis 1 and 1. They call themselves progressive creationists. Now, beloved, whenever you get a set of words with more than four syllables, get suspicious. The purpose of that is to make you sound foolish and make them sound sensible. I am a progressive creationists. And the other name for them, I am a theistic evolutionist. Well, you might bite your tongue saying that. It sounds impressive, and they want to be impressive. Every one of them believe that God used the evolutionary method to bring this world into existence. And they broke bread that morning. They were not holding fast to the head. That is the secret, beloved. Hold fast to the head. And those of you that are in stool, hold fast to the head. Don't worry about what the head says, or what the teacher says. You remember what the psalmist said? "I have more knowledge than all my teachers because I follow thy ways." Yeah. and tell your children, don't worry about what those fellows out there teach you. You don't have to believe it. Shall I tell you about a relative of mine? Lovely young lady. Well, no, she's not. All ladies are young. Yeah, she's young. But she's almost as old as I. One Wednesday, she called me at the office. Very sad and upset. I said, what's the matter? I just took the examination in biology. No problem there. At the end of the questions, of her answers to the questions, she put a note. I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution, but I want you to know I don't believe in the theory of evolution. And she was worried. Next Wednesday, about the same hour, she called, and I could tell she was glad from her voice. What happened? Underneath my note, the teacher put, neither do I. Hold fast. Hold fast to the truth. Now, I'm not telling you to put a little note at the end of your question paper. We all don't have that stamina and strength. But the principle is there. Hold fast to the truth. They have absolutely no facts to support what they say. Now, from time to time, you will hear about the facts of evolution. There are no facts of evolution. Amen. All the facts are in here. Oh, my, my. How these things come to my mind. Isaiah 8. I like to leave this verse with the students. Verse 20. Isaiah 8 and 20. I dare say you're using different versions of the Bible, and they will all read a little differently. I'm going to read it from the old King James, and then I'm going to give you the modern, up-to-date, latest translation. My translation. Isaiah 8 and 20. To the law and to the testimony. That's the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know what that means in present day English? Any man or woman that tells you anything that's contrary to what's in this book is absolutely and completely wrong. That's what that verse means. And when you face these folks in school, you don't have to argue with them. The fact of the matter is, you probably wouldn't be able to outwit them. But you don't have to believe them. Hold fast to the head. Oh, I have to stop soon. All right. I have several headings here. Let me see. Yes, 1 John, please. 1 John 1 and 3. The matter of holding fast. And if each of us holds fast, you'd be surprised what would happen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. By the way, when you go home, why does it say that which? Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, why not he or who which? Whom, he whom we have seen. That which. Why does it say that which? That's for homework. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. John is saying, I want you saints to have fellowship with us, the apostles. How is it accomplished? Just my having fellowship with you? No, no. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That's where our fellowship is. Now, if you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, we'll have fellowship with each other. That's the key to all that we have been speaking of. The key to unity is fellowship with the Father, holding the head. And if you are holding the head and I'm holding the head, we automatically have fellowship with each other. It is not a question of my fellowship with you. John chapter 21, please. Don't look at the next fellow. Keep our eyes on Jesus and shine, shine, shine. That's the key to unity and to harmony and to oneness working together. Don't look at the next fellow. John chapter 21 and verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now, the Lord was, you know, he was gracious. But you know what I think the Lord said in that verse? Mind your own business. I really think that's what it amounts to. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Amen. Hold on to the head. Now, when I say don't worry about the next brother, sure you have sympathy for him. We are taught that. But don't keep your eye on him. Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is. Now, brother, stop me when the time comes, please. Because I have enough information here to go on for another hour. But you don't want that. Dinner time. And this was mentioned also. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2. Well, no, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset. Let us run with patience the race that is set before, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hold fast to the head. I think the last Olympics, about 4 years ago, I had it somewhere in Europe. There was a young lady who broke the record for the 100-meter dash. Broke the world record. Now, I saw the race on television twice, and no one made any comment about this. As she got to the end, she looked back and kept going. Do you know that though she broke the record, she could have broken it even more if she didn't look back? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at the next fellow. Now, mark you, I didn't say you shouldn't be kind to him, but our eyes are to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one other thing, and I won't take time for it, but you read it in 1 Kings chapter 13, where there's a young man, and the Lord gives him certain instructions. Fine. And then he runs into an old man. And they're supposed to have wisdom. And the old man told him exactly the opposite of what God told him. Now, whom do you believe? The young man let go the word from the Lord God, and he died. Oh, I tell you, beloved, hold fast to the head regardless of who says what. That's the message. That's the key to success. Now, time has come to stop. There is a nice hymn that reads as follows. Oh, by the way, one other thing. You remember the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2? They left their first love. Tell me, do you love the Lord as much today as you did a week ago? Do you really love the Lord? Tell me this, beloved. Do you find Jesus Christ interesting? Is he interesting? You know, I believe you. You wouldn't come here if you didn't find the Lord Jesus Christ interesting. And we've had a wonderful time meditating on him. But there are believers who don't seem to find him interesting. They read a little bit in the Bible, read a verse every morning, and by the time they get 10 minutes away, they don't remember the verse. He's not interesting. Oh, beloved, he's interesting, and hold fast to him. In Ephesus, you left your first love. Don't leave. Now, the Lord said, I will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. Right? Therefore, if you are not as close to the Lord as you once were, who moved? The Lord didn't move. Hold fast the head. In conclusion, thus may we abide in union with each other and the Lord. You see, that's good poetry. It should be the other way. You abide in union with the Lord and then each other follows. But to make it poetry, we had to turn it around. And possessed in sweet communion joy which earth can ne'er afford. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure. The Lord bless each of you.